as I was preparing this week, how oftentimes we as believers put our focus on just spiritual needs and spiritual growth in terms of our lives. And nothing wrong with that. It's important to really know that God wants us to grow and develop and move ahead. He certainly does that. But what I want to do tonight is I want to take an area of our life that I think is really kind of crucial, and I want to get you involved right away. So I made some little white pieces of paper here, and I'll tell you about them in just a moment. This talks about one of the biggest problems I think we as believers or anybody else in our world faces, and that is the concept and the problem of stress in our lives. How many of you have ever experienced stress? How many know that God's concerned about that? He really is. And as we look at our lives, I was thinking this week, even in current events, if you've been listening to the news at all, there are some things that probably make us aware of the fact that we'll build stress in our life. One of them is the fact that gas may go to $5 a gallon in 2 years. How many were excited about that? Not at all. Okay, and it builds stress in our lives because of that. We also saw this week in terms of our grocery store vegetables prices rising because of floods and freezes and everything else, okay? And the list could go on and on and on and on. And what I would like to have you do just as a beginning tonight, just for yourself, is to take one of these little pieces of paper. What I've asked you to do is I've asked you to identify the three biggest causes of stress in your life right now, okay? So I'm going to hand them out very quick. The second half of the question I want to ask you is this. Do you believe that God can enable us to live a stress-free life? Okay, we'll talk about that and come to it in a moment. Somebody described our society this way. Said we live in a tension-charged, fast-paced world that is full of demands and complexities that have caused the stress level of the people of our society to reach epidemic proportions. Let me just go over that one more time, okay? Notice what happened. Tension-charged, fast-paced, full of demands and complexities that have caused the stress level of people of our society to reach epidemic proportions. As we look at that, I think there's a key phrase in that that we want to take a look at, and that is that the complexities are things that man does not have answers to. And because there are no easy answers to these problems and complexities that we hear week after week, day after day after day, stress level rises because none of us have any answers and we don't know where we're going and they don't know where we're going either. They don't have answers either. So as we look at a part of that, now, I think as we look in terms of what the Bible says, I think it offers some solutions to living a stress-free life. And what I want to do is take a look at some things with you that relate to this particular aspect of our daily living. We'll be looking at some subjects of stress and the constructive solutions we can apply for living successfully in an environment that fosters stressful living. I was thinking Sunday night as we drove home, I don't know when I have been so stressed out. Snow was coming down so thick and so heavy you couldn't see. Eventually you couldn't see the road. Traffic is still moving. And yet, one of the things that occurs and happened is we got to the bottom. Guess what happened? Got out of the snow, got where it was raining, got back on solid turf. What happened to the stress level? Went down immediately, okay? And did a big, big drop in terms of our individual lives. Well, there's a verse of Scripture found in Matthew. In fact, two verses, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. And as we look at the first part, I've read this portion of Scripture many, many times. But what it says is, it says, do not worry about your life. We could stop right there. We as human beings worry about our lives. We bring worry upon ourselves. But what he says here in Matthew chapter 6, looking at verse 25, do not worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. If God so clothes the grass of the field, will he not much more clothe you? Now notice here again, this phrase. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Two key phrases. Number one, easier said than done. Do not worry about your life. Why? Because God is in control. God is in control. And if we look at the second part of these verses, the one phrase I want to pull out again is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what's he going to do? all these things will be added unto you. What a beautiful place to be tonight. As believers in a complex world where there's all kinds of problems around us, all kinds of difficulties around us, we can look to the Word of God, and what it says basically is what? Don't worry about your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what's going to happen? Everything else will fall into place. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? I can suddenly take the worry off of my back, and I can lay it over in a chair or outside someplace, and I can look and understand and realize that God has the answers to everything. And although there are things I face every day that I don't understand, things I face every day that I have no control over, God, in the midst of all of that, because I'm his child, and because I seek him first, he says, don't worry about your life. Just take it easy and let me deal with it. As we find, let's define stress if we can. Stress is simply defined as a factor that creates a mental, emotional, or physical strain. It is a state of unresolved tension arising from the pressures, irritations, and demands of life. Take your paper, if you will, please, that you wrote your three main stresses down. Look at them and identify whether they are mental, emotional, or physical. Do that right now where you're sitting. All right, if we look in terms of biblical terms, the word affliction probably is the closest thing we have to tension and stress in terms of our life. Affliction can also be defined as the pressure which affects a person's life. It is a broad term which includes many factors which contribute to stress. Affliction in the Greek means anguish, means burdened, persecution, tribulations, and trouble. All of those would equate to the word stress, so we're using it as we are tonight. Now, so look at this whole concept. Keep in mind that God did not promise us that we would be free from things that cause stress and anxiety, but rather he would enable us to live in such a way that these things would not affect us or control our lives. That's key. That's crucial. God is not going to put us in a plastic spiritual bubble and put us over all by ourselves. No. We're going to live in a world filled with stress. Yes, we are. So as we look at that, John 16, verse 33 says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you would have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Let's go back and look at a key word if we can. I've read this verse many times too. But all of a sudden it kind of jumped out at me. And it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," what a crucial phrase that is. Not in the conference of other people, but in the fact that we are in God's presence. We are his child. He is overlooking us. We can see and see that we have peace. In the world, we'd have tribulation. Stress is a universal problem which periodically troubles Christians and unbelievers alike. Paul gives us an example. He referred to the stress he experienced when he wrote, "We were pressed out of measure." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, all of trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." Paul was expressing, and Paul is a pretty dynamic person to look at here, and what he says is, we faced tribulation. We faced things that absolutely squeezed us and almost brought us to the place of being despaired even of life. But as we look at the concept again and look back at what we read just a moment ago, as long as we are in him and he is in us, guess what happens? The stress levels will remain low. It's when we take our eyes off of him, when we begin to really focus on the problems themselves, focus on the stress itself, that's when our stress meters go up. You see, in ourselves we can do nothing, but all things are possible to him that what? Believe. God is able to meet every need that we possibly have. God is able to help stabilize our lives so that we are not swept away and overpowered by the stress that's filled up in terms of our world. Now, there are some common symptoms of stress tonight, and I just kind of want to share those with you if we can. You may think that what you're experiencing is just the normal function of life when you become stressed out. Stress can breed a host of destructive symptoms which affect us mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Here are some examples of what we've been talking about. Mental and emotionally fatigue, loss of appetite, physical weariness, high blood pressure, frequent headaches, stomach problems, and the list goes on. Ulcers, and we could list another 10 or 12 things that relate to that. Stress often produces a sense of anxiety, of irritability, frustration, restlessness, and depression. It creates a feeling of hopelessness and disillusionment, which undermines a person's sense of purpose, of direction, and meaning in life. Stress can keep you from fulfilling God's plan if we let it control our lives. All of us have experienced stress at some point in our life. Tonight you've written down three things. I've written down three things as well. These are things that are part of our life right now. But what he's saying to us again as we look at this, although there are symptoms of stress in our life, our God is able to overcome those, overpower those, and help us to become victorious regardless of the situation. That's an exciting thought. Sometimes Bill gets in the way and he creates stress of his own. None of you have ever done that except me, I'm sure of that. But we create stress and we get it going and going and going, and it's kind of like a ball. There's no end to it. And what God is saying as we look at this whole process here, as long as we are in him and he is within us, guess what? The stress level should be at a very, very minimal or very, very low. As we look, there are some other common causes of stress. And what are some of them? I'll share with you very, very quickly. But a number of things that contribute to stressful living, especially in our society: the unrelenting pressures of contemporary life, the constant challenges and deadlines of our fast-paced society, the ever-changing state of our unstable world, and the pressures of fear and uncertainties concerning the church all contribute to stressful living. I don't know about you, but I've talked to many, many people in recent days, and they are filled to a stress level. Why? Because they don't know what's going on. If they are unfortunate and are not Christians like we are, what a difference that makes in terms of their life. But they are filled because of the things that are happening. I'm sure all of you have worked at a job where the demands were absolutely unbelievable. You couldn't do enough, or whatever the reason for the boss or whomever it was. But it raised stress in our life. Layoffs lay stress in our life. Finding all of these things that are part of our society and the love we or the world we live in certainly creates a stressful situation. As we look at some other examples, the tempo of life, the strain of demands and responsibilities, a failure to seek adequate rest and relaxation. What a crucial one that is. How many times have I heard someone, even in the last week, say, "Boy, I haven't been sleeping very well." Well, what do you mean? Well, I've only been sleeping an hour or two a night because of the things that are constantly going through my mind and the kinds of things that I'm dealing with. Their stress comes because of poor use of time. Stress comes because, none of us have done this either, but because of a poor diet, vitamin deficiencies, wrong priorities, spiritual conflicts, a tendency to overextend ourselves. Does that sound familiar? Lack of exercise, insufficient communion with God, unresolved interpersonal conflicts, emotional problems. Here's another one: procrastination and unresolved sins that we have in terms of our life. Ran across this little article and certainly summarizes and puts it in perspective. But it says, how to join the coronary club membership requirements. Number one, never say no to a request. Always say yes. Pretty much hitting home, isn't it? Look at number two. Your job comes first. Personal considerations are secondary or not important at all. Number three, accept all invitations to meetings and banquets and committees and et cetera, the list goes on and on and on. Go to the office evenings, Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays. It's a poor policy to take all the vacation time which is provided to you. Don't eat a restful, relaxing meal. Always plan a conference for the dinner hour or something you can grab fast foods with and take off in your car and go about your business. Never delegate responsibility to others. Carry the whole load at all times. If your work calls for traveling, work all day. Drive all night to make your appointment for the next morning. Take the briefcase home on evenings when you do not go to the office. This provides an opportunity to review completely all the troubles and worries of the day. Unresolved stress can become an extremely destructive condition. The accumulated effect of long-standing stress can eventually lead to a condition which is commonly referred to as the burnout syndrome. Let me suggest to you, as we look tonight, at some principles for stress-free living. I want you to keep in mind that God desires for each one of us, His people, to live a stress-free life that is rich in God's fulfillment. In Psalm 66:12, we find these words, "We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment." What a beautiful verse of scripture that is. When we look to God's solution in any matter that has the tendency to bring stress in our lives, He will bring us into a rich fulfillment as we let go and let Him do that. The key is learning to trust Him and His way rather than our poorly devised plans. Let's look at some examples of what we're saying as God's principles for stress-free living. First of all, we must see things from God's perspective. Is that different than ours? Absolutely. Life is filled with a wide variety of circumstances. Some situations are positive, some are negative. However, the circumstances we encounter, regardless of the nature, often produce feelings of stress. This is especially true of the adverse situations which suddenly affect or alter the course of our lives. A great deal of stress can be alleviated or minimized by viewing our circumstances from a godly perspective. If we fail to perceive our life situations at any point as God perceives them, then we become susceptible to stress. Romans 8:28, a verse you know by heart, says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." My most important responsibility tonight, and yours also, is to live the kind of life that is pleasing to God. As we live a life that is pleasing to God, our stress levels will drop. I can promise you absolutely for sure. This can be a real liberating revelation, which has the potential of freeing us from much of the self-imposed, notice the words, self-imposed stress we experience by seeing our circumstances in a negative light. There's a drawing in Germany. It's in a beautiful, beautiful museum. And at the end of the hallway, as people glance down, all they see, it looks like, are globs of paint put on the canvas. But as they approach the drawing and get closer and closer and closer, they begin to see that there's something very beautiful on the canvas. And that is, it's angels. If we analyze the situation from a position of faith, He will soon discover that the cloud is God's wonderful, chariot of providence full of angels of mercy. What a beautiful picture. Turns from globs of paint to something very, very beautiful and becomes an important part of our life. As we view God from that same perspective, we don't just see a glob, do we? But we see someone who is there to care for us and who is there to meet our needs in a powerful way. Second thing I want to suggest to you tonight is the fact that we deal with unresolved sin and conflicts. Hebrews 12, familiar scriptures again, verse 1 and 2. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight," notice what else, "and the sin which so easily enslaves us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Sin generates inner tensions and conflicts in our life. And if it's unresolved, whether public or private, we must sincerely seek God's help to find cleansing power and forgiveness in terms of our life. Whatever your conflicts may be, learn to deal with them as they come up. The more you put them off and the more they pile up on top of one another, the more stress you will experience in your life. If you are experiencing irritations in your marriage or whatever, deal with them. Conflicts with others create incredible amounts of stress. If you ever had a situation, you don't need to raise your hand, it's okay. But where you hated to find someone or see someone in the market or in the city that you really were having problems with, and it was a problem you'd had in your life for a period of time, and yet the more you saw the person, what happened, it continued to what? Fester and fester and fester and grow until we find ourselves in a very, very stressful situation. If we are harboring hostility, hatred, resentments, or offense, we should seek genuine reconciliation and healing and forgiveness that only God can bring. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, it says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and the reminder that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way." Notice the steps. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. What a beautiful picture for us today as well. We can remove stress from our lives as we follow the simple scriptural guidelines here of committing it to God and allowing Him to come and minister in our life. Number three, we must redeem our time. Many people waste time and manage it poorly. The inevitable result is a stress-filled consciousness because we can't keep up with the things that we should be doing. He talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." What a beautiful thing that is for us as well. It's a beautiful thing as we go about our jobs, as we redeem the time, as we do what we know we should do. What a testimony that is. And so one of the things we can do to remove stress in our life is redeem the time that we have on a daily and a weekly basis. This also involves pacing ourselves in such a way that we do not take on too much at a given time. How true that is of all of us. We get a list going, and we have many things happening, and people add more and more to our list, and what happens? We soon find ourselves buried in the stress mire that we've created for ourselves. We need to understand the limitations of our life. This also involves time for rest and relaxation, even if it's watching a football game. Let's go to number four. Give everything to God in prayer. What a beautiful picture of that we find in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. But he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What a beautiful proclamation that is. How do we get the peace? By not being anxious. By turning everything in our life over to God and allowing Him to move and to minister as He sees fit. A great deal of stress is the direct result of shouldering the burdens of the, without turning to the Lord in prayer. We have access to the peace of God when we release our burdens to the Lord. What a place that is. What a lesson to learn. How many times, not in your life but in mine, have I wrestled with things that I really shouldn't have been wrestling with, but I didn't turn them over to God? And what happened? It became a real problem for me. Built stress levels in my life. But what he's saying to us here is, be anxious over nothing, but in everything. Not just the little things, not just the big things, but in everything that comes our way. We need to, with thanksgiving, let our requests be known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will become a part of our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." What a beautiful verse. What a beautiful truth. We sometimes find ourselves as though we're kind of all alone, and things again begin to close in on us. But what he says is, casting, getting rid of, getting Him out of your life, of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. When we, when we fail to release our problems and cares to Christ, we experience increasing tension, anxiety, and fear. Prayer is one of the most powerful remedies for stress. What a beautiful truth that is. How many times in your life have you been sensing stress in a great way, and you got alone somewhere in the house or outside or even in the car, and you just took time and took your needs to God and allowed you just to express to Him what you were feeling, the bad things and the things that were causing stress, the things you couldn't change, the things you could change. What a beautiful thing that is. Prayer is one of the most powerful remedies in our life for stress and other things that we face. Excuse me. Number 5 says, trust in God's word. Romans 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. What a beautiful thing. The word of God is a powerful tool, as we know. And as we read the word of God, there are times that it comes literally alive on the pages. How many have experienced that? We find a verse that ministers to our specific need, whether it doesn't matter what area of our life it is, but God knows exactly what we need. I had a friend share Sunday morning, as a matter of fact, at church, and I won't mention the name, that's okay. But God had directed him to do something that week. And because of his busy schedule and because of all the things going on in his life, he had not been able to do that. And 2 days later, God brought the gentleman who had a specific need to the man's office. He had pulled his promise out of the box on Sunday morning, or on Monday morning as he went to work. And the basic promise that is said on the card, these are not the exact words, but close enough, when God speaks, do something. He realized at that point in time, and he spent several hours with the gentleman who had come to his office. But as we look at this whole process here, we can find again that there was great comfort in the scriptures as he shared with this gentleman. And what took place and happened was the stress level that the man had come into the office with, what did it do? It almost disappeared. Why? Because of them talking one with another, yes. But because of the scriptures they shared together and because of the fact that they took time and prayed one for another in that situation. What a beautiful thought as we look at that. He says, comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The promises and counsel of scripture provides us with a rich storehouse of stress-relieving comfort and peace. Stress often results from failing to stand upon the absolute reality of God's word in spite of the circumstances. And when we confront life's problems and dilemmas and uncertainties with the reality of God's word, we can effectively overcome a great deal of stress that we would normally have to suffer. What a tremendous truth. Trusting in God's word, the power of his word, as it moves and works in terms of our life. I'm sure one of the areas you've seen in your life in the stress area as well. As we pray to God, what does he do? He imparts to us tremendous wisdom, divine wisdom, helping us to know what to do and when to do it and how to do it. God does that, and he takes his word and again confirms that within our hearts and within our lives. So as we look at this process, written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, notice that, might have hope. Scripture says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord is everlasting strength. What a beautiful portion of scripture. Again, how do we do that? How do we get that perfect peace? We get it when we stay and plant our minds firmly on him who can supply and meet the needs that we have in our lives. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth. What a beautiful thing. As we read things in God's word and we've read things, portions of scripture, and we've read them again and they've come alive as we shared a moment or two ago. But we can really understand and realize that the entirety, everything we have in this book, excuse me, is there for truth for us to operate and work our lives around. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, again, such a powerful scripture. I want to read it one more time. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God comes. Why do we not have the peace of God sometimes? Because we don't present things to God, as it tells us here. I need to get rid of those things. I need to turn them over to God. I can stir about them. I can all kinds of feelings. I can worry. I can fret. I can do all these things. My stress level will go up, I promise you. But as we look in terms of what he's saying here, Paul in the book of Philippians, but be anxious over nothing. Easy statement, hard to put in action. But as we do that and we turn everything like that we've got over to God, guess what happens? We can experience the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding in terms of our life. The sixth and last principle deals with having fellowship one with another. Romans chapter 15 and verse 32, that I may come to you with joy for the will of God, or by the will of God, excuse me, and may be refreshed together with you. One of the most beautiful ways to handle stress, or at least that I've experienced, is to share with another person. What a beautiful thing that is. We don't have to go into all the details. We don't have to tell the person all the history, everything else. But as we get together and share one with another, we can begin again to see the stress level in our lives begin to diminish and disappear. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. That same thing can happen to us as we become involved with other believers in other places in terms of our lives. Fellowship can often provide a potent remedy for stress. Studies have proven that interaction with loved ones and friends helps release the pressure of stress in our lives tremendously. Those who isolate themselves and withdraw from people and relationships suffer a great degree of stress-related problems. Companionship with others provides access to warmth and love, understanding, comfort, counsel, and encouragement, and a release from our stress. What a beautiful thing. As we look at the process tonight, we looked in terms of God and his involvement in stress in terms of our life. And basically, we are kind of at a point where we can make a decision. We can either live with the things that are creating stress in our life, or we can turn them over to God and allow him to move and minister as he sees fit. I look in terms of my own individual life, and I can't tell you the number of times that God has orchestrated a plan so beautifully that I would have fouled up so badly. Because I was trying to do it in my own strength, but that isn't what he's saying. He's saying, bring me your stress, bring me your problems, bring me the things that you're facing in life that are causing difficulties, and let me, and then you will experience the peace of God that passes all understanding in terms of our individual lives. What a place to be. I'm sure you would agree with me tonight that that's where we want to be. We want to be with that kind of relationship to God so we can release it to him and allow him to flood our hearts and our souls with perfect peace that only he brings. Father, tonight we are thankful for your goodness. We're thankful for your blessings. We're thankful, Lord, that even in difficult times we can turn our eyes towards you. And Lord, whatever the problems of our life may be, whatever is causing stress in our life, whatever is causing anxiety in our life, Father, we can turn that to you. And as we read just a few moments ago, we can cast all of our cares on you because you care. You care so very much for each of us. Help us, Lord, to understand that truth better than we ever have before. God, that we can just sense your peace on a continuing basis, even during stormy times and difficult times, we can know without a shadow of a doubt that you are there with us. You are there beside us. And God, as we turn it over to you, you will do great things on our behalf. We'll experience victories, Lord, things that we can be excited about, again, that you have brought about, changes you have made, answers you have given to us as we become involved and continue in our daily process. Father, again, just take this time and take the truths as we shared tonight. Take your word, Lord, quicken it to our hearts and to our lives in a very special way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.